Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dan Wolken from USA Today. Dan, how are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, good. I want to first get to the teams that are in Columbus, and some people might be going down there from this area. And we're looking at Iowa, Cincinnati, Colgate, Tennessee, Washington, Utah State, Iona, North Carolina. What was most interesting maybe about those teams that are going to be there just down I-71 in Columbus?
Well, I don't know. I mean, some people mentioned Cincinnati getting a 7 seed was probably a little bit low for them, especially given their performance Sunday against Houston in the championship game. But I don't know if playing in Columbus is like a huge advantage for them. I know it's only an hour, but I don't know if Cincinnati fans are going to take over Columbus or anything like that. I do think it's a possible interesting game for Tennessee because Cincinnati, you know, they've got a very defined style of play. They've been good at it for a number of years. Mick Cronin's an excellent coach. I mean, one thing about the NCAA tournament, you know, if you just want to go coaching matchups, which I actually don't think is a terrible way to fill out a bracket. You know, I know Mick Cronin has not broken through and gotten to the Sweet 16 very much with Cincinnati. And yet, you know, I don't look at that as an impossible game for them against Tennessee in the second round. Obviously, North Carolina, a team that can win a national championship, they are great. And, you know, they've gotten better throughout the season. They played very well against Duke. They miss a lot of shots that I think they would make normally. They only went, I think, 4-for-25 from three in that semifinal game. I don't think they'll do that very often. And I think they're one of the probably four or five teams that could absolutely win it all.
Does Ohio State deserve to be in the tournament?
Well, look, deserve is an interesting word when you're talking about a subjective process. This was not a great year for the bubble teams. I don't think anybody got left out who had a very compelling case to make. And so you've got to put 68 teams in. I don't think Ohio State is particularly good. I don't think they're going to go very far. But in terms of just the baseline qualifications to get in, they were maybe a little bit better than some of the other teams that were trying to get those last slots. So I'm not going to sit here and be the guy who says they didn't deserve it. Because I just don't know that there were a lot of great alternatives.
Okay, I'll take that.
Dan Wolken joined us on the hotline. I saw Dick Vitale was railing on some of the mid-majors that always seemingly get left out, but we're seeing more and more mid-majors, and teams like Buffalo get seeded all the way up to number 6, a team that we had a chance to watch here in Cleveland. So if you – I know it's always different in an individual year how you're going to evaluate, but, Dan, how would you look at teams – such as UNC Greensboro that go 28-6 that get left out. Who would you rather see? Would you rather see them in the tournament or a team like Ohio State who played Big Ten caliber competition all year?
You know, I just don't – I'm not dogmatic about this argument. And I know people love to take Selection Sunday as sort of their personal soapbox to advocate for whichever teams they think should be in, whether that's mid-majors or big conference teams. I just don't really see a way to resolve this that is quote unquote fair, because you are talking about different schedules. You are talking about a group of teams that don't necessarily have opportunities to play the big conference teams. But I also think there should be allowance for excellence from small conferences if that's what they're producing. So, it's a hard job to be on the committee. Those people do it. They give a lot of time. I think they operate in good faith. I think they try to do their best. Sometimes they get it wrong. Sometimes they get it right. It's not a topic that fires me up. It's not that hard to make the tournament. You know what the qualifications are. If you don't meet them, I just don't feel all that bad for you.
I got to agree, Dan. I just always laugh. I used to see Seth Greenberg get bent out of shape about it. I was telling Lima earlier in the show. It's like, there were 64 teams then, there's 68 teams now. You played in the ACC. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, even with the mid-majors. Who do you have? Do you have any upsets like a 12 over a 5? If you have a 12 over a 5, which seems to happen every year, who do you got, Dan?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting this year just because I do think the way the middle tier of college basketball has been, I think, pretty mediocre, that I'm not sure this is – I mean, there's going to be upsets, right? It happens every year. Teams are going to fall on their face. You know, I think a lot of people would point to maybe Murray State and Marquette as a 12-5, where the 5 is not just a rock-solid team. Liberty and Mississippi State, maybe another one. Liberty's, done pretty well this year. Oregon and Wisconsin. I actually like Wisconsin, but I know a lot of people are going to pick Oregon because they won the Pac-12 tournament and kind of got hot late. You know, all those are pretty feisty. I mean, New Mexico State, 30-4, is a 12 seed against Auburn. Who, you know, will they be able to bounce back coming off the emotional high of winning the SEC tournament? I don't think that's an easy turnaround. And they're also kind of a boom or bust team. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. If they're off, if they're missing, New Mexico State could beat them. So, you know, all four of those 12-5s are interesting. I just don't know if I'd pull the trigger on any of them.
Dan Wolkin with us in the hotline, breaking down the brackets. Last year we had what was seemingly an unforgettable, historic 1-16, you know, defeat. I don't know how historic it is to me. I mean, I haven't heard as many people talking about that until the last 24 hours, but is there any 16 that could do something like that again, or maybe a 15?
I don't think there's a 16, to be honest with you. Look, it's so hard to imagine the circumstances that would lead to something like that, and nobody saw UMBC coming. It's unfathomable. Now, I think it will happen again at some point. I just don't know if it's this year. I don't think it would be anytime soon. You know, the 15s, I just don't know enough about those teams, to be honest with you. You know, I know Montana's had a very solid program for a number of years, but I just think Michigan's better. So, I don't know that I would totally be willing to go there for any of those 15 seeds.
Dan Wolkin joining us on the show. What should LSU do about their situation where, okay, you're not going to have Will Wade. You're still, what, a 6th seed, if I'm not mistaken, so you're still going to play. Should they have sat out? What should they do? Because this is going to be turning into an investigation from what we know.
Well, they're actually a 3 seed.
Oh, a 3 seed, I beg your pardon.
But, Will Wade's not going to come back. So, you know that. And obviously that's going to have an impact. You know, they lost to Florida in the SEC tournament. Who knows if that was because Will Wade wasn't there or not. It's impossible to say. They're going to play in the tournament. I don't think they're going to go very far. If they don't lose to Yale in the first round, I think Maryland probably gets them in the second round. There's a lot of dysfunction, but they are talented. I mean, Tremont Waters is a really good point guard, and Naz Reid is excellent at a lot of things, very versatile big who can stretch out to the perimeter. I mean, they do have talent. I don't think they're going to make this deep, you know, Final Four type run. I just don't think it's in the cards for them. But, you know, they're going to have to regroup after the season's over, figure out what they want to do, figure out you can't have a head coach suspended indefinitely if you're trying to run a program. Like, you've got to make decisions. And I think this is ultimately going to lead to him being fired. Then they're going to have to investigate everything. The NCAA is going to be very interested in what's gone on there. I don't think it's going to end very well for LSU, just sort of given the circumstantial evidence that we know. And but, you know, they've just made the decision that they're going to go forward and try to get everything out of the season that they can. And so now you get to the tournament, and I think you just try to compartmentalize everything and focus on the games.
By the way, in that same bracket, Louisville taking on Minnesota. Richard Pitino taking on Louisville is a little bit interesting, isn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah. The NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, they always talk about they don't have storylines in mind when they make these matchups, and I think that's mostly true. But on the other hand, that's one that just does stick out like a sore thumb. I mean, Louisville, Rick Pitino is the name you most associate with Louisville. You match him up against Minnesota and Richard Pitino. I think that one's kind of obvious, but I'm sure they would deny that they did it that way. But I just don't think most people would buy that.
All right, Dan, we all know about Zion. We know about RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, and what Duke Blue Devils have to offer in terms of talent, their known commodity. But outside of them, who are the players that could turn this tournament upside down? Can Ja Morant do that with Murray State? Who are some of those names out there that people need to get familiar with?
Well, I mean, I like John Morant as a player. I don't know that he's the type of talent that can just completely upend a bracket and, you know, just will his team to a Sweet 16. That would surprise me, but I think he's good, and I'm glad that he's in the tournament. He'll get an opportunity to, you know, to showcase to a lot of people what kind of player he is going into the draft, where there's going to be a lot of interest in him. You know, I think, you know, I'm trying to just go through here. You know, another guy, I mean, Texas Tech, you know, Jarrett Culver, who I've watched all year long. I think he's really one of my favorite prospects for the NBA. I think he's going to be a, you know, top 6-7 pick for sure. And Texas Tech, you know, they've got an interesting draw. They're going to play Northern Kentucky. They got Buffalo in the second round. So that, you know, a lot of people have Buffalo, but I think Texas Tech's kind of poised to make a deep run. I think that game against Michigan in the Sweet 16 is very winnable for Texas Tech. They went to the Elite Eight last year. They go back this year or potentially even go to the Final Four. I mean, you got to start talking about Chris Beard as, you know, one of those guys who I think just in terms of pure coaching, he's a top five coach in college basketball. And I think if he can get Texas Tech to another Elite Eight, a lot of other people will see it the same way.
So we'll get your final thoughts on this with everybody feverishly filling these out, listening to everything you say. I think most Vegas money so far early has just been on Duke, just the Duke Blue Devils to win it all. Is that too obvious right now? Do you see them? They don't shoot the ball all that well for a team as good as they are.
Yeah, I would favor Duke. And look, I know that they don't shoot it well, and I think that's certainly a potential problem. But what if they do shoot it well? You know, then they're not going to get beat. And I do think they have the capability. I mean, I think there have been games where they've made shots. R.J. Barrett is a guy who can make shots. Cam Reddish can make shots. So, you know, but they have the knowledge that they don't have to shoot well to win. I mean, Zion Williamson I've been doing this a long time. I have not personally seen a player who impacts the game on both ends of the floor in a college setting like him. More than Anthony Davis at Kentucky in 2012. I mean, he's just incredible. He's absolutely incredible. And I think him being healthy and everything he can do absolutely gives Duke the best chance.
Dan, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Thanks.
We got Dan Wolkin thanking us for the time on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Fantastic by him. You okay over there?
Yeah
you're okay over there.
It was an abrupt ending.
Well, we thought we'd get him on with Owen, but that was the end of it. 216-578-0092. Make sure you take us with you to work, 923thefan.com. Now, in about 20 minutes, people have been asking us to play it, so we'll play it. You want to hear it?
Yes.
You want to hear it?
Absolutely.
There is a new Baker song that has to go with Odell Beckham, and it's to the tune of a Disney classic. So we will play that coming up at 9:40. We promise you that. Also, Body Armor swag bags, your chance to win one of those coming up at 9:20. And, yes, there's an and. Some people think John Dorsey should be held responsible for Tyreek Hill.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.